Tonight, I want to just give you a little information on what we were doing on our mission trip. We were in Jacksonville, Florida from July the 4th through the 10th, and what we did was go and teach a vacation Bible school at the Dean Road Church of Christ. And I believe this is our 7th, 8th year around there. Buddy would know it better. But we went down there and worked very hard each day. VBS went on Tuesday through Friday, and we prepared each day and did a great job teaching God's Word. We have four young men tonight that will be speaking to you, including myself, that will give a report on each topic at Dean Road. And also, we will have a slideshow that's be going on in the background of various pictures that we took while we were there. Thomas Olson will be our first speaker tonight.
I'd like to start off tonight by thanking the elders for allowing us to go on this trip. But also, I would like to thank those who supported me, and not only me, but anyone who went on this trip with us. And your help was so much, and we thank you so much for that. But I'd like to start off tonight by reading 1 Corinthians 3:5-11. And it reads, "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos, but ministers to whom you have believed? As the Lord gave to each one, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each will one receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, and you are God's building, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master built. I have laid the foundation, and others have built on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." We went down there like Paul did in Corinth, and we planted the seed. We helped plant the seed because Dean Road is a congregation that didn't want us just to go down there and do it for them, but to help them. And we planted the seeds in like four ways, and one was in a Bible lesson class, and that was a teacher going along with the story would teach some lessons to better grasp the story. And not only that, we did skits in front of them at lunch, which just gave them a visual representation of what they were learning. And also we had puppets that would give a real world application for that. And so not only could they know what was going on in the story, but you know how they could use that in their everyday life. But ultimately, we spent time with these kids, taught them, and fellowship with them. Some of the children came up to me and other members of the youth group saying, "This is the best week of their lives." And one of the members there who teaches at a local school has kids talk about this all year long, about just how we spent time with them and how they can't wait for the summer just for VBS. But also, as we spoke to them, we taught them about, you know, the theme of the week, which was life in Bible times, and about the man who is our Savior named Jesus, and how to become a Christian, and how to grow, like in 2 Peter 3:18, which reads, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." And we also were presenting and teaching them to present themselves to God, like in 2 Corinthians 2:15, which reads, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing in a word of truth." In the end, God ultimately is increasing, like in 1 Corinthians 3:17, as it stated back. And we do that so that in the end, we can have a home in heaven, and we could teach these kids and ultimately they would have a home in heaven as well, as in Revelation 2:10, which reads, "Do not fear away for any things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. But in the last part it says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." Thank you for your time.
Good evening. Thomas pretty much took all my thanks, but just to go along with it and stuff, not to go along with it, but I'd like to thank the elders for, I guess, allowing me to speak tonight and for all the things that y'all do for that make it possible for us to go on these mission trips. And not just them, but for everyone that kept us in their prayers and helped us out financially so we could go on this trip. Tonight, I'm going to be speaking pretty much about the Christian fellowship aspect of this trip and how it impacted the kids at the VBS, but more importantly, how we fellowshiped with one another and became more unified. And I'm going to speak about fellowship and unity because our fellowship helps us become closer together and become more of one unit like God wants us to be. And without unity, it's hard to have fellowship, so you can't have one without the other. But like I said, Christian fellowship is essential. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, and verse 8, it says, "Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, and a tender heart, and a humble mind." And in Romans chapter 12, verses 16 through 19, it reads, it says, "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Pray no one with evil for evil, but give thought to what you do is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." So here these verses are talking about how important it is to live peaceably with one another and to have fellowship and unity with one another. Imagine if our group, our youth group, went down to Dean Road that week and we were all arguing and fighting during the VBS on the way, like when we hung around each other. It'd be very hard to get anything done that week. And but we didn't argue or fight that much. I mean, when you're away from your family and you're home for about a week, you might have an argument every now and then, but it's nothing severe at all. It's just more of everyone getting tired sometimes, especially towards the end of the week. But it was a very successful VBS, and we had good fellowship, and we were able to have a good example for the kids. And in order for the kids to listen to us and learn and have fun, we had to be the best examples we could be and show our unity. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, it says, "You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Hopefully, by the way we presented ourselves and acted that week as a unit and as we had fellowship toward one another and towards the kids, hopefully they saw that we were serving God and that they realized that we were doing the right thing. Sometimes the kids would copy us, like they might start saying the same things as we would or start walking the same way and stuff. And it reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." If we were imitating Christ that week and being showing good examples of Christian fellowship and being kind toward one another, we shouldn't have any worries because it's if the kids are doing anything bad, if they're trying to imitate us. It's always good to be an imitator of Christ because you never know who's watching you. Some of these kids may have come from a broken home, a broken background. They might have to be around arguing and fighting all the time. And when they came to VBS, it was a good way to get away from it. Hopefully, they saw how the Lord's church should act and how everyone should love one another. In John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35, it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I loved you. You also By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Hopefully, the children there saw that since we loved one another and got along with each other, that they could see that it was the right thing to do. That, you know, arguing and fighting, you can get away from it. It is possible to get along with one another and love each other. We used fellowship, Christian fellowship, and unity to accomplish the goal of getting VBS, of accomplishing VBS that week. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 says, "For we are all God's fellow workers, God's field and God's building." What if everyone was one of God's fellow workers? Think about how good and united the world would be, and how good everyone would get along, and how great the world would be spiritually. As Christians, we should become more unified with one another and have fellowship. In Acts chapter 4, verse 32, it says, "Now the full number of those who believe were of one heart and soul. No one said anything of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common." As Christians, we should strive to have everything in common with one another. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14, as I close, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works." In this verse, it clearly states that what we're working for is heaven, and how heaven is our ultimate goal, and it is possible to reach heaven if we don't have Christian fellowship and unity. Thank you.
First tonight, I'd like to just one more time thank everyone for all the financial support and the prayers that were given to us to make this trip possible, because everyone benefited from it, not just the kids, but us also. And I'm going to go away from what we did during the day in VBS and talk about what we did every night after everything else. We would go back to the hotel and we would have a Devo. And as I thought about this topic, I was thinking, why do we do this? And I came across a verse in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. And it says, "But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." It's talking about how we study the Bible so that we have the knowledge and we're prepared to tell others the gospel and tell others about Christ and how he came to save us. Our different Devo topics this week was the water of life, Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, and we talked about spiritual growth and how deep the love of God is, and then the last day we talked about our attitudes while we served others. But tonight I want to narrow it down and just talk about the first three, which were the water of life, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, and spiritual growth. Monday, we started off by doing the water of life, and we read a piece of scripture from John, and it was chapter 4, verses 9 through 13, and it was the story of the woman at the well, and how Jesus was sitting by the well. He asked her for a drink, and she was wondering why Jesus would ask her for a drink, because she's a Samaritan woman and he's a Jew, and they don't normally associate with each other. She says, "The well is deep and you have nothing to draw water with, so what shall you do?" And he tells her that whoever drinks the water from this well is going to thirst again. But whoever drinks the water I give them, the water of life, will never thirst again. And you read on in the chapter, and you find that the water of life is eternal life. But there's also the question, how do you get this water of life? Which brings me into the second topic, which was Tuesday. We did spiritual growth and how you progress. And real quick, I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. And it reads, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. And what this verse says is, the first step to get to know God is to hear the word of God. But if you stop there, you're going to go nowhere in your walk with God. So what you have to do is, after you hear it from somebody, it'll probably be reiterated to you several times and told over and over again, but you're not going to grow any, and you can't expect to grow without studying the Bible and having a good relationship to God. Because just as our physical bodies need food to grow, we need spiritual food to grow spiritually, and that would be reading the Bible. And then Wednesday, we talked about finishing strong from Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read that real quick. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down on the right hand of God. In the first part of this, it says, let us throw off all that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. And this is telling us you have to forget the past and what you've done, because to Jesus, what you do in the past doesn't matter. If you've been baptized in water, you're forgiven of everything you've ever done, and he just forgets it, and you remember it no more. And this talks about how you need to forget the past and keep looking forward to Jesus, because he is the author, the finisher, and perfecter of our faith, and he's the one that's going to be able to help you to go through everything. And so you need to look to him. And that's some of the devos we did, and that's the reason I think that this trip was not only benefit to all the kids at VBS, but also for us. Thank you.
I'm not sure if we gave enough thanks yet, but I still want to reiterate on that and tell everybody thank you very much for supporting us this week. While we're at Dean Road, it meant a lot to the kids, and it also meant very much to me and those people at that congregation. Also, this week we would not have the success as we did without certain things taking place. And I would like to tell our youth group that it wouldn't have happened if y'all wouldn't have gone and did what you did, your efforts. I thank y'all so much for your efforts and working hard and not complaining. I know sometimes we got hot and sweaty and tired, but I really appreciate your efforts, your individual efforts helping one another and all those down there and the children. Like I was telling, there's certain aspects that have to go on for a successful trip, especially on a mission trip. And that's what I want to iterate tonight and let you know what happened during that week and how it was a success. For the week, we had 39 people to go on the trip with us. 39 people that were not only just regular Christians, but hard workers, people that wanted to give the gospel to other people, people that wanted to share their salvation and how to make it to heaven and how to get there. So we had 39 people who were willing to work and go and have a good time teaching God's message. During our vacation Bible school, it was from Tuesday to Friday, and we averaged anywhere from 55 to 60 young children. These are ages from two-year-olds all the way up to teenagers, and this excludes our teenagers. We're not even counting our teenagers here. So we had anywhere from 55 to 60 young people that came out of the community around Jacksonville, Florida, to come hear the Bible and come hear the great news, the gospel. Our teens went out, and they spread the gospel. They taught the good news, and I believe that's something we all desperately need, especially in our world today. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. If you have your Bible tonight, please turn these passages with me. They're very important. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2 is the first passage I would like to look at this evening. Now, Paul here is writing to Timothy, and he's trying to encourage Timothy. Many times we get discouraged in our lifetimes trying to teach others, especially going out into certain areas of the world we don't know. But Paul writes to Timothy and tells him, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and is appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, Timothy. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Paul tells Timothy here, Timothy, you got to be ready. You always have to be ready, Timothy, to preach the word of God, to teach someone somehow, some way. Not only did we do Bible classes that week, which were amazing, we also had, like we said, puppets that went on, teaching Bible lessons through puppets to the young children that could actually see and hear a great message. And we also had skits. We also went out and able to act out different Bible stories to the younger ones to let them see exactly what took place in the Bible. What is that God would have done in this situation? What would Jesus do? And this was a great opportunity for us to learn. Paul also writes in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. And it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And what Paul is telling the Romans here, don't be ashamed of what you have. Do not be ashamed of the gospel, because you know what? That's what's going to get you to heaven. It is powerful. It is mighty. It is the word of God that can save all men. You have in your hands the blueprint for success, for salvation, but only if you give it to other people. I can't believe people that would go out each day and claim they're a Christian but never teach someone. That's not part of God's plan. And that's definitely what we did not intend to do. We went down there to give the gospel to people, to help someone out, to show who God was to people that never knew their Creator. So I appreciate all of us that went on the trip, because that was one element that made it successful. It was our desire and love to teach others and one another that was displayed throughout the whole week, because we cared for one another. We had the opportunity to teach. We were ready to teach. And most importantly, we were excited about what we taught. We were ready to do God's work. Another reason that Dean Rowe was a success was because of each one of you sitting here. I'm reminded of the story in Acts chapter 2. It was the day of Pentecost. Peter was preaching. This was the scene, the first gospel sermon that took place. The people in the crowd were pricked in their hearts, and they said, what shall we do, Peter? What shall we do? Peter told him, repent and be baptized, every one of you. But what's very interesting in this text to me is not only the baptism of 3,000 souls, but what happened in verses 41 through 47. And I like to read that to you because it's very important. 41 through 47 of Acts chapter 2. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Notice in verse 45, that's what I really want you to look at. They sold their possessions and divided their goods. For what reason? Why would you sell your possession? That's mine. I worked hard for that, and that is mine. I deserve that. That was not the attitude of the people here in Acts chapter 2, and it shouldn't be our attitude today. The reason was they sold their possessions and divided their goods is so they could worship together and stay with one another. It said they were in one accord with each other, and that's what we need to achieve as well. Be as one mind, having the same goal in mind, and that's heaven, and loving one another. It's not our money, it's God's. God gave us the ability to work and gave us the ability to teach, and it's all God's. Amazing. People selling their possessions and goods and giving it to other Christians to help out. This congregation gave so much to help us on our mission trip. We received over $2,000 in support for our efforts. $2,000 was given from you to get us to teach the gospel of Christ to others that may have never heard about Jesus. And I'm so thankful for a congregation such as the Del Rey Church of Christ, especially for all your efforts, not only just financially, but for the prayers and for us, for just thinking about us. And I very, very appreciate that. And finally, Dean Rowe would not be a successful trip without God. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 9, we read it, but I'm going to read it again. I think we've heard it twice already, but it's very important that we don't forget and miss the point that was made here. It says here, "Who then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor." And this is very important, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. We are all God's children, and he commands each one of us to take the gospel out and tell it to other people. We planted the seed of the gospel and tend to it, but God ultimately gives the increase. And if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't have had a trip. Our trip solely depended on preaching the word and teaching others about the gospel. All three of these elements were very important in the execution of our goal, to teach others that may not have ever heard about the gospel or even about Christ. Tonight, if you need to have a response to the invitation, please come now while